Assess Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network studios.
It's good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us. We are from the Man Cave today, doing the show from here, fighting it a little bit. So it happens. It happens. But I'm not one of those guys that says I'm not here to talk to the masses. So we're going to do our thing. And Casey Jacobson will be with us at 10:20. Always good to catch up with Casey. And on Casey's front today, I want to talk to him. I wrote a column that some of you didn't like and some of you really did like, which I think is the definition of a good column. And that is that the Suns should consider, the key word here is consider, trading Eric Bledsoe. And I want to talk to Casey about the kick and the lack of suspension and Toronto coming back against Cleveland. I'm watching the game last night. And I don't know if it's just watching the NBA for 30 years and consuming it, but I still feel like Cleveland's going to win this series, and they're just kind of up in Toronto doing their thing. And it's fine that the Raptors came back. I think all of us would be surprised. Like, every last one of us would be shocked and stunned if Toronto won the series. But it just kind of feels like we got a long ways to go, and LeBron's not going to take a shot in the final 5 minutes. Kyle Lowry at 35. He's a fine player. But come on, you can't tell me that Toronto is a better team than Cleveland. So as I'm watching it last night, and I saw where Patrick Patterson decided to say something just dumb about LeBron James, complaining about him whining. He is LeBron James. I know you don't like him. Some of you don't. It's fine. But the best do cry. I can't think of many that didn't or don't. If you're at the top of your game, like, I don't see Steph Curry say much, but he does say stuff. There's certain teams we all know that San Antonio likes to whine and cry, but I watch Kawhi Leonard. He's not one of the biggest whiners and criers. Tim Duncan is. Different era. You know, he's just kind of hanging on by a thread now, Tim Duncan. But what, you know, when I watch LeBron, you don't want to wake him up. And even though the series is tied at two, I fully expect Cleveland. I think everybody expects Cleveland. You may want to root for Toronto. We'll talk with Casey Jacobson about that series coming up here in about 8 minutes. Tracy Smith is going to be with us today, and I'm very pleased that we're in a time of year where I actually have some space here where we can do things like Tracy Smith, because it's a great story. The Diamondbacks are doing their thing. The Cardinals are going through OTAs. The pro stuff's happening. I just like to sit and find good stories around our state, not just in Phoenix, but around our state. There's not a better story than ASU baseball right now. First time since 1982 that ASU has won four straight conference series. They have a three-game weekend set against USC to finish up the regular season this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it's over at Phoenix Muni. And they could still finish in a tie for first place. I was at a luncheon that Tracy spoke at. That was like 5-6 weeks ago. Some guys said, well, you should come to this. You need to hear him speak. I've heard a couple of interviews that he's done with Tim Healy. Man, it's fine. It's fine, but he spoke and was dodging some arrows from those that believe that the program has never been the same since Jim Brock left and Bobby Winkles. It's fine. It's great that those fans are out there. Tracy handled that very well and was confident that he would get things turned around. But they're one of the top 25 programs in the nation now. And with ASU baseball's rolling, it's just one of those stories below the surface here in Phoenix, it's gotten lost, and look forward to visiting with the skipper. It comes up at 10:35 at ASU Skip. The Cardinals are at OTAs today. Eric is out there along with Jordan. Jared is in our palatial estate studios with the moat and the dragons and all that stuff, doing his thing today. So we got the full staff. It's just I'm out doing my thing from the man cave. The Diamondbacks play tonight against Pittsburgh. Let's start there on the sports stuff, and I'll get over to the playoffs in a minute. Diamondbacks have Shelby Miller throwing tonight, and I'm now to the point where every start that Shelby Miller makes, to me, is more interesting than even Zach Greinke pitching, and the two are kind of different in terms of where the decimal point falls on their check, right? And Shelby Miller's 1-5, and the Diamondbacks gave up three very good players, prospects, in order to get him, and at some point, you think he's going to go in the rabbit hole, and we'll never see him again, and this may go down as one of the worst trades ever. That's the easy overreaction on May 24th, because I think he's pitched better in his last three starts. That said, I'm not going to sit here and make excuses for him. He's been the biggest disappointment of the season, without question. let's not sit here and sugarcoat this. If Shelby Miller were even around 500, I think the team would probably be a game or two out of first place rather than 6-5 thereabouts. So he has not made the impact that they've needed. He's not made the impact that they've wanted. And they've got a tough series here against Pittsburgh. I thought they played well over the weekend at St. Louis. It was a good weekend set for them. But take care of business in Pittsburgh with Shelby Miller and Patrick Corbin the next 3 days. And then bring Ruby back. And Ruby's pitched well, and they skipped a start with him. So the pitching, I think, in this series, you look at it and say the Pirates are really good. But this is Shelby Miller's time. Shelby Miller's time in this one. Sad yesterday to read the New York Times story, and this morning it's been blown up about Tony Gwynn's family filing a lawsuit, wrongful death lawsuit against tobacco. Those of you that have listened to me through the years or have heard this show through the years know that Tony and I were close, and Tony was my color analyst doing basketball back in the day with San Diego State. Whenever Tony would come into Phoenix, we would get together, we'd go to Suns games, we'd hang out. And I remember one of our very early television broadcasts, he had a dip cup in front of him. I'm like, dude, you can't be dipping during the game. And he said to me, I just can't help it. And he put it down at his feet, and during timeouts, he would be back at it, you know, doing his thing. I'm not going to sit here and rail on spit tobacco. The late Joe Garagiola Sr., when he and I were travel partners, he talked about it at great length, and he actually had a couple animated conversations with Tony Gwynn. God bless both of them. They're no longer here. But I saw that story yesterday, and then I saw on social media where the Gwynn family was getting hammered with a frivolous, that people believe that nobody forced Tony to dip. But the power of that, and to see that story show up yesterday, and this morning too, it's been picked up nationally. That's a tough one to deal with. It really is. There's some big news in the NFL meetings today in Charlotte. The league is going to give out three more Super Bowls, and Phoenix is not going to be in the rotation for any of them. And it doesn't mean that the end is, I'm not doing gloom and doom, but I like being in the rotation where we see Super Bowls roll through. And now that Los Angeles is going to get their palatial estate, and if San Diego finds a way to get a stadium, all of a sudden, guys, I think we're going to be out of the Super Bowl business for quite some time. It would be a masterful job by Michael Bidwell and people over at the stadium to be able to get another Super Bowl here. I just don't see it happening. Our next big event, of course, is next March. We have a Final Four here. Final Four, by far, I think, is the best sporting event to host. Others will disagree and say, how could you say that? It's the Super Bowl. No, Super Bowl has become too corporate. I think the Final Four, when it's here next March, I hope that we get in the business of that and go back into trying to get all-star games. We've got a couple of big soccer tournaments with Copa America coming up next month that will draw enormous crowds into Phoenix. And that's what I'm all about. It's just I'm disappointed that Phoenix, I believe, has found their way looking on the outside on the Super Bowl rotation. So there's that's going on today. On the other side, Casey Jacobson will be with us, former Phoenix Sun, and now with Fox Sports 1, NBA analyst as well on the playoffs. I'm going to talk to him about Eric Bledsoe and my belief that the Suns should at least explore looking at parting with him with all their assets that they have in the draft. That's up next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up online. Out of the Cardinals today, they're going through OTAs. Suns bringing in more players. The Diamondbacks are in Pittsburgh tonight. A lot going on. Let's turn our attention, though, back to what everybody's buzzing about, and that is a pretty compelling series now has taken place between Toronto and Cleveland, or is it just a matter of Cleveland's just playing around here? I don't know. There's people that believe that. Casey Jacobson is with us. Good to have Casey on board, of course. Fox Sports 1, Fox Sports Arizona. You see him after some of the Suns games, all around the NBA and college basketball as well. Before we get into Draymond, let's start with the game of last night. And what do you make out of this series now tied up at two games apiece? Is it really 2-2, or is it just Cleveland's playing around here, Casey? What do you see?
Well, it's not, up for debate. This series is 2-2, Brad. I mean, before this series started, I would have been surprised if Toronto won more than one game And I didn't predict a sweep because when you get to this level, sweeps are so rare. I mean, the level of basketball is so high that a team is going to go on a run or take advantage of home court and the crowd and the energy and the atmosphere. So the fact that Toronto won game three wasn't that surprising to me. But they won game four, and they were about to run away with it if it weren't for a stretch in the fourth quarter where Cleveland makes 11 straight shots to kind of bring it in. But this is a real series, and it's interesting to me, Brad, is the Cavs' game plan in game one and two. What was it? We're going to play inside out, and that's my favorite kind of basketball. You guys know that. I was a three-point shooter during my career. I love to launch them from deep, and I love to watch teams like the Cavs and the Warriors shoot from deep. However, the game of basketball is meant to be played from the inside out. Try your best to get a layup or a dunk first, and then if the defense collapses or makes that impossible, then kick out and get threes. It seems to me that Cleveland went away from that game plan, which was so effective in games one and two. Remember, 51% of their overall shots, so every shot they took, more than half of them were inside the paint in game two. Now they just go into Toronto and just say, hey, we're going to abandon that game plan, which was dominant, and we're just going to hoist threes. I don't get it.
Talking about Casey Jacobson, and when you say you don't get it, the backcourt has really come into it. So like Lowry, we all knew he was good just by looking at the stats and maybe the two or three games a year, unless you have leaked pass that people were watching. But man, is he shown here in this series what a heck of a player he is up there.
Yeah, you know, and have we already forgotten that Kyle Lowry left the court in game two to go into the locker room to quote unquote decompress? I'm not sure what that means. I was actually teammates with Kyle Lowry in 2008 as a member of the Memphis Grizzlies when Kyle was just a second year player in the NBA. And, you know, I'd never seen that before. A star player, an all-star player leave to decompress in the middle of a game. But you know what? It worked. I mean, it didn't work that game. They got their butt kicked in game two, but since then, Kyle's been awesome. I mean, game three, he was over 50% shooting, which, you know, we know if we've been following the playoffs is, you know, kind of rare for him. He has not been able to shoot the ball effectively from the perimeter. And last night, he was awesome again. So there is something that Kyle has found. He is decompressed. And here's the difference, though, Brad. Can he keep it up? Him and DeMar DeRozan, the knock isn't that they're not good players. It's that they are not consistently night after night good players compared to LeBron and compared to Kyrie and compared to Kevin Durant. So this is their chance. Again, they will be the underdog in every single game, even if they go up three games to two. They're going to be the underdog. So they need to be able to use that to their advantage and continue to play consistent, getting good shots.
Talk with Casey Jacobson. So Patrick Patterson said that LeBron James, he's tired of him whining. Do you find yourself yelling at the TV when LeBron cries and whines? Or is that just, no, that's what makes him so great as he fights for every call? Because I hear both sides of it from the fans out there. Where are you at on LeBron and this Patrick Patterson comment that's come out today?
All right, well, first of all, every single superstar in the history of basketball whines like a baby to the officials. That is part of it. Michael Jordan did it. Magic Johnson did it. Larry Bird did it. You know, all the good players in our game right now do it. You know, Chris Paul is one of the biggest whiners. Blake Griffin, you know, Kobe Bryant, he would go to the basket, and if you even breathed on him, he would yell, "Hey!" and try and get the call every time. This is nothing new, so this doesn't bother me one bit. But I also have to disclose that LeBron is my favorite player. So when I watch the games, I'm rooting for him because I feel like if I had the God-given ability that he had, I would play the way he does, unselfish basketball. I would use all my strengths to include my team members. You know, and here's the last thing I'll say about LeBron. Similar to Shaq, he is a physical freak of nature. It is impossible to fairly officiate LeBron James. I mean, he really is that unique. He's the most unique physical basketball player I've seen since Shaq. So it is hard. Like, Patrick Patterson needs to kind of, I mean, he's trying to win. So maybe he's just saying this to get under LeBron's skin. But he needs to understand that LeBron is, is LeBron. He's 6'9", 260 pounds, and when he goes to the basket, guys bounce off him like bugs on a windshield. And so if you foul LeBron hard, sometimes it doesn't look like a hard foul when in fact it is.
Talk with Casey Jacobson. So let's flip it over on the other side. And before we get into Draymond Green and all that, who has the advantage in this series as you look at it right now? The easy answer is OKC. I tend to look at this series and think it's still got a lot left in it. We're just now coming to the midpoint. How about you?
Oh, of course. This series is far, far from over. Now, Oklahoma City has the upper hand because now they officially have home court advantage because they have a one-game lead in the series and their next game is at home. So if they win, they will have drivers, control in the driver's seat. But it was interesting when I watched the TNT coverage when Charles Barkley was like, I still feel like this is a must-win game coming up for Oklahoma City, not for Golden State. And I found that kind of interesting. And I tend to agree, and here's why, Brad. Golden State has not lost consecutive games all year. And if you go back to their playoffs last year, whenever they needed a win, in particular, I remember the series against the Memphis Grizzlies when they were down 2-1 and game four was in Memphis. And Memphis was playing so well. They were so confident. And the Golden State Warriors went in there. And then it wasn't a blowout, but they dominated. They completely controlled that game. So having said that, to me, Golden State has shown at every turn when their back is against the wall in the last 2 years, including regular season and playoffs, this year's regular season and this year's playoffs, when their back is against the wall and they must win a game, they have done it every time, Brad. Not just sometimes, but every time. So in that regard, I actually agree with Charles Barkley. This is a must win for Oklahoma City in order to win the series.
Okay, ever been kicked in the groin, Casey? Ever kicked someone in the groin, Casey, and had it accepted as just part of the game? Like, I'm stunned Draymond is playing on one hand tonight. On the other hand, it's the league office and Kiki Vandeweghe and TNT, and we got to have everybody on the floor to make it even. Conspiracy theory, the whole Draymond thing, okay, start to finish. What did you see? Have you ever done it? Have you ever had it done to you?
Of course, if you've played basketball for long enough, you're going to get kicked in the groin accidentally or not. I remember a time in Europe, I was playing in Germany, and a guy in Spain, I still remember his name, Alex Mumbrew. He punched me in the groin on purpose, and I almost lost my mind. I didn't see, it was totally on purpose, and I wanted to choke him out right on the court. But, we're kind of getting away from the basketball, right? And I don't know if you've talked a little bit about this on your show, Brad. It kind of reminds me a little bit about the 2006-2007 playoff series with San Antonio and Phoenix when Amari Stoudemire stepped on the court. Boris Diaw as well? So Boris and Amari both step on the court after Robert Horry hip-checked Steve Nash into, and got the flagrant foul, got ejected. And the NBA was like letter of the law. They took a step on the court after an altercation. We have to suspend him for a game. And I actually heard an interview yesterday with Stu Jackson, who used to be the vice president of basketball operations for the NBA. And part of his duties was, player punishment. He no longer has it. You mentioned Kiki Vandeweghe is now in that spot. But what I found interesting in the interview with Stu Jackson is he said, there have been times throughout my career when I had to dole out punishment, and I went to David Stern and said, this is what I want to do. And David Stern said to me, are you crazy? We're not doing this, And that's how I kind of feel what happened with Draymond Green. I do feel like Kiki Vandeweghe was like, we need to suspend him. And then Adam Silver came in and said, are you kidding me? If we do this, we are going down a rabbit hole. You can't judge intent. That is a very slippery slope because now every time somebody punches or accidentally elbows, we're going to have to look at the tape 100 times and say, was that on purpose or was that accidental? So if you're asking me what I would have done in this, I would have not suspended Draymond Green. It was a flop that went a little bit too far. But if we get in the business of trying to judge intent, man, it's a really slippery slope, Brad.
What happens in game four, Casey?
Well, I mean, I just said that the Warriors have never lost back-to-back games this year, and they didn't do it last year in the postseason. So I have to say, if history has taught me one thing, it's that the Warriors are a tough, resilient bunch. And when they have to play well, they do. So I'm going with the Warriors.
Before you get out of here, Suns are sitting there with the fourth pick in the draft. You're the GM today. What do you do with that pick?
Ooh, this is a really tough one. Because there's some good guards, Brad, that are in that top five mix, but the Suns already have guards. They're a guard heavy roster. To me, they need shooting. They need big guys. And so I would entertain the idea of trading down, maybe getting a couple other picks, because I feel like this draft is a top heavy, two players. And then there's a pretty significant drop off where there's not a big difference to me between the fourth, fifth, sixth guys like, Buddy Hield, Chris Dunn, the point guard from Providence, Jamal Murray, the point guard from Kentucky. There isn't a huge difference to me between those guys and guys you can get at 12, 13, 14, guys like Denzel Valentine from Michigan State or Marquise Chris from Washington. So I would, for the Suns, I would consider trading down, maybe getting a couple of more picks, more value, or trying to get a trade those picks to get a veteran that can help me maybe at the forward position.
Okay, one last thought on this, and I wrote about this, and it had mixed results. Some people were in my court, some were not. Look, I know the Knicks don't have assets, really. They don't have a pick this year, and they're not going to trade Carmelo Anthony, and they're not going to trade Porzingis, but Jeff Hornacek going there knows this roster inside and out. I don't know if he likes Eric Bledsoe or not. Eric Bledsoe's had three knee surgeries. Eric Bledsoe's the highest-paid player on this team with 3 years remaining. The Suns have all these picks. They've got Brandon Knight, who doesn't want to be a sixth man. And there's no way Devin Booker's going anywhere. He is the face of the franchise. Casey, would you try to figure a way out with your assets of picks in Bledsoe or Knight and turn around and take Dunn and say, this is going to be our backcourt for the next 10 years. I can't trust Bledsoe, two knee surgeries in the last 3 years, to be the face of this franchise. And I'm not sure he really wants to be here. What are your thoughts?
It's really interesting. I haven't really considered it, but I have a lot of thoughts. One, I really like Eric Bledsoe. I think he's probably the best guard in the Western Conference that hasn't made an All-Star team. But your points were accurate, and you didn't talk trash about his game. You just said he can't stay healthy, and that is absolutely true. It seems if I challenge all your listeners right now to go on the internet and look at Eric Bledsoe's stat page. Every other year, he gets hurt. You mentioned the three knee surgery. I just find it really fascinating when you go, he plays half of a year, but then the next year he plays the full 81, 82 game season. Then the next year he gets hurt again. The next year he bounces back and plays 81, 82 games a year. So that's a kind of a disturbing trend for Eric, because I really like his game, but he is injury prone. That's the definition of a guy that's injury prone. So, but I would also say that, Chris Dunn is a guy that, I think is really interesting. He's 22 years old. He just graduated, even though he has 1 year of college eligibility, could return to Providence College if he wanted to. He graduated. So he is as mature, as old as any player in the entire draft. So he's coming in. I think Eric Bledsoe is only like 25 or 26. So he's only a few years younger, less NBA experience, but Chris Dunn is a guy that can help you right away. So that's a very interesting thing. I think there's a lot of teams that would trade a lot to get Eric Bledsoe. Getting Chris Dunn and having grooming him along with Devin Booker, hey, man, if I was a Suns fan, I would sign up for that to watch those two grow together.
Really good stuff there, Casey. As always, appreciate the time. Thanks.
Brad, thank you, man.
Always good to catch up with Casey Jacobson. Good stuff there. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Susmat. Right, Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports on a busy Tuesday. We've gone all through the stuff with the NBA playoffs with Casey Jacobson, of course, the Cardinals and OTAs. And I put this out on Twitter yesterday. I had some people that didn't realize that Arizona State Baseball, okay, so the Sun Devil Baseball program, I saw Tracy Smith speak the first time about a month ago. I had some people that said, Brad, you really need to go hear Coach speak. I've heard some interviews with him and Tim Healy. He really had the room. He's got a great sense of humor about him. Beyond that, his team at the time was scuffling. And they were picked sixth at the start of the season in the pack. They were 4-8 in the league at one point. All of a sudden, they've got USC here this Friday night and an enormous series. Tracy Smith joins us now, ASU Skip on Twitter. Are you a top 25 program now, Tracy?
Would you say my top 25 program?
Yeah, you're top 20. You're playing like a top 25 program right now.
Well, I saw where we actually cracked into the top 25, so I guess somebody thinks we are. You know, I keep telling people we're winning. It's not the most conventional looking wins, but at the end of the day, we're winning. I think our guys believe that they can win. We've, you know, in the Pac-12 conference is a very unforgiving conference, and we've been having a lot of success in the conference lately. So, you know, I'll let others decide that, but I like the way we're playing right now.
Regular season finale against USC Friday, Saturday, Sunday over at Phoenix Muni. Tracy Smith on Twitter at ASU Skip. So you remember that lunch I was talking about in the intro?
Yeah.
And so there's these longtime Sun Devil fans, and they're great. God bless them, but they want to see results, and they talk about the history, and it's fine. And you handled it with ease, but it seemed to me that you were like, guys, just be patient. I know we're on the right path. It wasn't just coach speak, Tracy. Did you see this coming, though, at that lunch? Like, you thought you were this close?
No. I mean, I would tell you absolutely not. And, again, you were at that lunch meeting. I think you could tell, you know, and I wasn't trying to downplay or wasn't any psychological warfare for any of oppositions who might be ever getting a transcript of that. It was the truth. I mean, we don't have a lot of depth this year. We lost a lot from last year. We're very inexperienced, you know, on the mound. We replaced our entire outfield. I don't know. You know, they ask me every time when I do an interview with somebody, they say, how are you doing this? The national guys will. I say, you know what? Quite frankly, I don't know how we're doing this. It's just happening. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy it. But what you have is a bunch of guys who buy into the concept of winning and not caring who gets the credit. So I did not see this coming. When we talk about that as a staff, joke about it as a staff, if you would have said a month and a half ago we'd be going into last weekend with a chance to win the Pac-12, I would have said you're crazy. So I'm not afraid to admit that. I don't think it makes, you know, my confidence or, you know, my feeling of this team any less. It's just been good to see a group come together like this when it's not necessarily talent, which we have some. I don't want to discount that, but it's a really good vibe in that clubhouse right now.
Talk with Tracy Smith at ASU Skip on Twitter, and he's very entertaining on Twitter, I might add. You could still finish in tie for first, as you alluded to earlier, but you need some help. For those that may not be aware, can you run through what needs to happen this weekend outside of you just taking care of business?
Well, probably shouldn't admit this, but driving in, I was at a stoplight, so then I checked my phone. How about that? I saw that Utah actually came back and beat Cal. They did their series Saturday, Sunday, Monday, so I was kind of waiting to see what the result of that game was yesterday or last night, and Cal lost that game. Utah came back and won in the ninth inning. So what has to happen now with that is we have to take care of business, which we plan on, you know, not being arrogant, but, you know, we were only going to worry about ourselves anyway. You go out and you try to win every baseball game, but what has to happen is we have to sweep, and then Utah and Washington, who are first and second place in the conference right now, actually play each other this weekend, so which is a great thing, and we need Washington to beat Utah 2 out of 3 and us sweep, and then we would be a three-way tie for first place in the conference between ASU, Utah, and Washington.
Hmm. In your years of coaching, and this, again, I don't want to bang this into the ground, Tracy, but in your years of coaching, have you had a group like this that you've been able to get to peak at the right time that could be playing for a conference championship? I mean, you are actually this weekend if you take care of business.
This team reminds me a lot of some early teams that I had, honestly, at Miami of Ohio, where everybody wrote us off. I mean, there were even local writers, we'll leave them nameless, but, I mean, local folks, you know, hey, you know, this is going to be the year they don't, ASU doesn't win 30 games, and, you know, really kind of wrote us off for dead. And the way that the guys have embraced that and almost used that to prove everybody wrong reminds me of some clubs that I had early on in my coaching career that were not playing, you know, at a conference level like this, or maybe have the talent, but just kind of said, all right, screw what everybody else thinks. We're just going to go out and have some fun and enjoy playing the game. And, you know, and they played well down the stretch and did some things well above and beyond what everybody thought they were going to do.
Talk about Tracy Smith. A couple other things. I'd asked you at this event, because I've had fans ask me about facilities in the batting tunnel. I know you're focused on USC, but the facilities over at Muni and some of the additions that maybe or could be coming down the pike, what would that do for your program? You're already making some positive strides, Tracy. What would that do for you?
Well, what we're trying to do is certainly build a culture, and I think it goes a long way in building a culture because, and this is kind of interesting timing. I just saw something where the Pac-12 has done a study, and I think it's actually going to be released, the commissioner, on the time constraints on our student-athletes. I think it actually comes out in the next few days. So I'm not going to comment on too much, but the gist of it is basically polling student athletes to see what the time constraints and would they do things differently? What would they suggest? And one of the main things is all the time that is spent outside of the countable related hours for activity. What that facility to me would do would allow, because we're only allowed 20 hours a week to develop our kids on the field, be in their presence, coaching them. To me, right. You're going to have to spend more. I think everybody realized that. You got to spend more time than that. And so if you have this type of facility, which we don't have now, we're not going to require the kids be in there. I think they're going to want to be in there because it's going to be an environment. It's going to be convenient. It's going to be nice. It's going to be something where they can work on their skill, their game, their craft, baseball, and not have to have us present or not have to in return. You know, it's going to make them better, which, again, in turn, makes our program better. And that's something I think that we desperately need here. And it, as you said, it is in the works. It's a reality. It's going to happen.
And we'll talk further about it another time. I appreciate your time, and good luck this weekend. Regular season finale at home, Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Muni against USC. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you very much.
Good stuff there. Tracy Smith at ASU Skip. You can follow him on Twitter. Yeah, I mean, the Diamondbacks have been kind of muddling along. They're starting to get it figured out. And this program has done a nice job. Tracy's done a nice job. And for the first time since 1982, ASU has won four straight conference series. It's very impressive. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So there's a couple stories today that caught my eye while we've been doing the show. And one of them happened just as we were starting. I didn't do anything about it on today's show. I was going to sit on it, but this is going to just take over. The general manager of the Buffalo Bills, Doug Whaley, said today that, quote, there was talking about, just for context, I wish I had the soundbite. The general manager of the Bills might be in charge of a roster of 90 men who play football, but he doesn't feel the game is something his players' bodies are designed to play. This morning, the GM of the Buffalo Bills went on their flagship, WGR 550 radio, and said, quote, "This is the game of football. Injuries are part of it. It's a violent game that I personally," here's the key part, "that I personally don't think humans are supposed to play." So wait a second. You're the general manager of an NFL team. And in this day and age of concussions and all the stuff that's going on and lawsuits, you're going to say, personally, I don't think humans are supposed to play. You know that the people that are on the concussion side of the aisle are going to pounce all over this. And whoever it is that's doing the documentaries, and I say tease is in plural, there's going to be more concussion stories coming and more documentaries coming. To have a executive, a general manager of one of the NFL teams say, personally, I personally don't think humans are supposed to play. And he's talking about Sammy Watkins, who's injury prone, and whether or not he is injury prone, actually, when this came up. I appreciate candor. But this has become one of the top trending stories in the country in the last hour. And it's going to continue to blow up. It just is. The other thing is, tonight is a championship game. Jared is in the studio today. If you've seen the dunk contest show that they have following the Thunder and Warriors.
Yeah, it's called on TNT.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of half watching it after the blowout game the other night. I actually saw there was a couple pretty impressive dunks, but I haven't been like watching with audio on completely dialed in that by
yeah,
any
yeah.
means.
Me either. I mean, I've watched like moments of it. Tonight is the finals of it. Thank God. And they're going to have Blake judge it. And Blake Griffin has become one of those annoying figures. And I say this, Jared, I think Blake Griffin could be one of those guys the Suns chase myself, because I think they're going to blow that thing up. But
he'd put fans in the seats.
He'd put fans in the seats. I know, I know. And we'd actually have a lead-in when it came to the football show, which would be nice. But gosh almighty, really, you're going to sit here and watch this show? This show is like the biggest train wreck. It's like the other night I was flipping around and there was Arena Football for Babes wearing really, really tight bikinis with their numbers tattooed on their butts. It's like 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. It was on one of the stations. I forget. It was like the lowest grade of lowest grade of lowest grade of programming you could ever possibly find. But I know that people will watch that stuff. It's like I'm on this roll of drone racing. You know, I've mentioned it to you. I mentioned it to Eric. We need to do drone racing. Drone racing is going to become like those Red Bull flight things. It's the same deal. It's a big, big market. So
it's interesting.
I guess I should.
I heard you tell me that a couple weeks ago, and I just never been on my radar. But you have made me flip the switch.
What are you talking about? Get after
it. You've made me flip the switch. I'm paying closer attention now.
In more ways than one, I would hope.
Yes.
Anyways, tonight, thank you very much. Tonight, we have Warriors Thunder. We have Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay tonight, by the way, is tonight on the ice. And that series has been terrific. And, of course, we have the Diamondbacks and Shelby Miller tonight. And throughout the day, you'll have plenty of content that you'll see coming up on our website at sports360az.com. We're Arizona-centric, high school, college, pro college, high school, makes no difference to us. We see stories, we like to tell stories, put some video behind them, written piece, lots of good content. Jared's working on his all-academic softball and baseball team on the high school platform. Eric is out at the Cardinals today with Jordan Hamm. They're working on a couple of NFL stories. And we appreciate Tracy Smith being with us, talking some ASU baseball, and Casey Jacobson as well. I'm Brad Sussmat. Thanks for being with us.